This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Reading from verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him, and he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Father, we just thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you really touch our hearts. We believe that you're speaking to us so specifically today. Lord, to each and every one of us, to us as a house here in Montbot where you've planted us, Lord, and each one of us personally, individually, you are speaking your plan and your purpose. And Lord, today we want to hear your voice. Lord, I pray that our hearts would not be cluttered up with so much rubbish that we cannot hear you. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would not be burdened down with the cares and anxieties of this world so that we cannot hear you. I pray, Lord, that our hearts wouldn't be completely distracted, Lord, with all the other things in this world, and, Lord, miss what you're saying to us today. Lord, we want to hear today what you are saying to us by your Spirit. Thank you for ears to hear. Thank you for a heart to respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last I talked about waking up and getting dressed. Remember I talked about it's high time that the church needs to wake up and realize everything that the Lord has done for us. Not is going to do, but has done for us. I want to tell you what, when Jesus died on the cross and said it is finished, it was finished. What was finished? He paid the price for all of our iniquities. He led captivity captive. He rose again from the dead, and he is seated. He is interceding for you and for me, but he is seated and he is waiting for all his enemies to be made his footstool. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Why do we keep asking him to deal with our enemies? He said that he has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We have a table that is full of the provision of God for every area of our life. Not just personally, I'm speaking much, much more than that. But we are called according to his purpose. Not our. We don't say, God, help me to do whatever in my own life. We are called. All things work together for good to those who are the called. How many times was Samuel called? How many times did I hear calling in there? So many times we are called according to his purpose. All things work together in our life to those who are the called and called according to his purpose. So he's prepared a table. We can neglect it. We can say, no, I think I'll go and eat at another table or go somewhere else. It's interesting that the word, you know, he is, you know, give us this day our daily bread. He's prepared a table. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So I shared last week about waking up to who we are in Christ, what he has provided for us. And when you wake up in the morning, you've got to get dressed. Often we look in the mirror and say, well, I'm not going out like that. We get dressed, and the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible statement. That's how we get dressed. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you think of better clothing than that? He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our victory. He is our overcomer. He's everything for us. He is our healer. He's our sanctifier. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a catch there. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We're always going to have this body until he comes back. But our hope is that when he comes back, that trump, that last trumpet sounds, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to put on an incorruptible body. The Bible says this is an incredible hope that purifies us, that when he comes, we're going to be just like him. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to put on an incorruptible body. But in the meantime, this call is upon us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be aware that we can't make any provision for the flesh. What does the flesh want to do? We want to do our own thing. We often think it's just bad things. No, it's not just bad. It's just our own thing. All flesh has been corrupted. Flesh and blood, the Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that? No flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But we will in Christ Jesus. So I talked about waking up, getting dressed. And today, out of this passage, of a little boy by the name of Samuel, I want to talk that he wants us to stand before him and to minister to him. There's an amazing passage of scripture that I've just read out there, but I want to give you what happened before this. Samuel's mother, a lady by the name of Hannah, couldn't bear children. And she was so grief-stricken over that. She was tormented over that. And one day she came to the house of God and she's praying, probably sitting at the back, praying. And she wasn't making any sound. Her lips were moving. And Eli, the priest at that time, saw her and thought, she's not making any sound. She's muttering away there, and told her, put away your drink. Well, he didn't have a spirit of discernment there. He just judged by what he saw. And she said, no, Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. And she was crying out to the Lord. And Eli just simply, Eli, here's a corrupt priest, simply said to her, the Lord grant you your request. As soon as she heard that, she received the answer from God that she was praying. As soon as she heard that, that's all the confirmation she needed. She got up, she went home happy. She knew that her request had been answered. And what she was asking the Lord for was a baby. If you will give me her son, this is what the promise she made while she's in the temple said, if you would grant me, give me a son, I will lend him to you all the days of his life. I will give him to you. What an incredible prayer. And that's what Samuel means. Samuel means asked of the Lord. She went home happy, and at the right time she conceived and she brought forth Samuel. And according to her promise, as soon as Samuel was old enough, she came and presented him before the Lord. So first of all, he was dedicated to the Lord. And I want you to identify this. Each one of us, when we are born again of God's incorruptible spirit, we are born again, we are dedicated to him. Each one of us, dedicated to him. That's the first step. That's good, you're born again. And Hannah said to her husband, as soon as he's weaned, I'm going to go and present him so that he appears before the Lord. A lot of people are born again, but they never appear before God. They never come before him. They never stand before him. But that's what we're called to do. And as soon as he is weaned, isn't it interesting about food? As newborn babies, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word, it says in 1 Peter. But then we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to learn how to really get into the meat of the word. Is it just deep mental stuff? No, no, it's simply doing the word. That's what the meat is. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I've got bread to eat off, he told his disciples, that you don't know anything about yet. I've got bread to eat of that you don't know anything about yet. He said, my meat, my bread is to do the will of my Father. Here's the will of our Father. It's written in here. So there's a time when Samuel is born again. That's great, but he needs to get weaned. He needs to devour the word of God. And they say, okay, how am I going to apply this in my life? I've got to do this. I want to eat meat. It's time for me to grow. And it was at that time when he was weaned that his mother brought him to Eli the priest. Just think about how hard that would be. Here's your one and only son. You've asked for what an incredible treasure. You've asked for him. Now you're going to give him. And she presented him before the Lord at the house of God. Isn't that interesting? Present him before the Lord to Eli at the house of God. And the Bible says that this little child, Eli, he would minister to the Lord before Eli the priest. He probably had no idea what he was doing, but his mother would make him a little coat every year. Every year she would visit him, make him a little coat, like a little priest's garment that he put on. And I'd imagine all the priests there, it was Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They probably thought it was really cute. You know, he's pretending to be a priest. Isn't that good? Isn't that good when we see our children dress up and they're pretending to be something? Well, here's little Samuel. He's pretending to be a priest. But it was no pretense in God's eyes. It was no pretense in his mind. It was a reality. You know what was happening at that time? Eli refused to discipline his sons, and they were priests. And the Bible says that they were doing awful things. They were taking of the sacrifices of the people for themselves, and so that the people despised coming and offering to the Lord. And Eli didn't restrain them. He didn't stop them. He told them off, but he wouldn't stop them. They were doing terrible things in the house of God. All you do is need to read it. And so God was angry, very angry, because all the people despised the offerings of the Lord. And so why should we bother? Just pack of hypocrites in there. Why should we go and serve the Lord? But little Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Everybody else thought he was cute. We're doing the real stuff here. The reality of Samuel was doing the real stuff. He was the only one ministering to the Lord before Eli. And he grows. And every year his mum brings him a bigger jacket because he's obviously growing bigger. A bigger ephod he wore, the priest's garment. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child wearing a linen ephod. And it says he grew. And he grew in the midst of this corrupt priesthood. They were doing all things for themselves, for their own flesh, for their own benefit. But he ministered to the Lord. And he didn't even know the Lord, but he's ministering to the Lord. And it said, the child Samuel grew in stature, in favor with the Lord and men. He probably didn't even know it. He didn't even know why. He had favor with God, favor with men, but he didn't even know the Lord yet. But he was ministering before the Lord and ministering to the Lord. We're to get up, wake up, get dressed, put on our garments, put on our royal robes, put on the garments of our priests. You know, Christ has made us kings and priests. Well, we all want to be kings. That's something we all want. I want to be a king. I could say to somebody, go, stop, do this, do that. We all want to be kings. We'll never be that until we learn to be priests. We'll never be that until we learn to be priests. What it means to stand before God. That's what I want to ask about. Are you standing before the Lord of all the earth? Are you standing before God? We are called to stand before him, to minister to him, to burn incense before him. Hezekiah the king, at a time when all Israel had gone away, their children, their wives were taken captive, the enemy was overrunning the whole land, and at that particular time, he became king. And the first thing he dealt with was with the priesthood. All the priests had scattered. Nobody was providing for them anymore. Nobody cared about them. Nobody cared about ministering to the Lord. The house of God was closed. The doors, everything was in ruin. It was full of rubbish, full of junk. And it was at that time, as soon as Hezekiah became king, he opened the doors of the house of God and he called all the Levites, all the priests that God had chosen to stand before him, to minister to him, to pray, to burn incense. He gathered them all and he said to them this. He said, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you. Isn't that incredible? We're chosen. I love that. He's chosen us to stand before him, to burn incense and to minister to him. And that's each one of our call to do that. He wants you to stand before him. And think about that. We're to praise and worship him. That's our first call. I think, has God got some kind of ego problem? Have you ever thought that? Why does he want us to praise him? You know, is he needs to be flattered or something? No. I think about that. I had guys at work, I remember. What do you want to do that for? What do you want to give him money for? Does he need it? And I realize it's all about me. We are created to focus on something. And whatever, and that's why the Bible says don't have an idol, because we want to focus on something. We want to pray something. But whatever we focus on, we become. When we start to focus on Him, when we are called to stand before Him, to stand in the beauty of holiness. Just, Elaine, when you were just praying there, just the awe of just standing before God, of worshiping Him, seeing His beauty, seeing His majesty, seeing His glory, and just saying, Lord, You're awesome. Have you ever, look, I've been in place at times in church and my heart's been so far away from God, and I've heard somebody just worshiping God and think, what are they on? How come, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing? You have that at times? Don't we? We all have that. You know, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. What was the purpose of that? It had all these three different parts to it. It had an outer court, the holy place, and the most holy. The outer court had sunshine, had a lot of activity going on in the outer court. You could see everything. They're cutting up bulls and goats and lambs and sacrificing. Everything was happening there. Probably pretty exciting, if you like that sort of thing. And then you come into the holy place, there's not so much happening there. There's only three articles of furniture in there. Got a table. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, which had the bread and the wine on it. That's all that was there. And the other one was a candlestick. What's that talking about? That's the word of God. And then the third was the altar of incense, chosen you to stand before Him. Think about this progression. We're in the outer court. That's where Jesus was, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's slain so that the whole world can see Him. And you think, oh, there's more exciting stuff happening around. Yeah, I heard all about that. And they don't progress, don't come into the holy place. There's no natural light in there. There's only the light of those candles. It wouldn't have been that bright in there, would it? Just candlelight. Three articles in there. And it's all to do, you know, outside it represents our flesh, things that we can see, things we can hear very clearly. But in that holy place, really it's only the soul, your mind, what you think about. You know, you see that table of showbread. What's that about? When you start to open the Word of God, you realize it's His body, it's His blood that was shed for me. Start to meditate on what He's done for us, what He has done for us, what He has accomplished for us. And that light in there, the candlestick, the Word of God, focusing, you know, all of this Word. Jesus said the Pharisees, just search the Scriptures daily. You think that in them you have life, but these are the things that point to me. And that light there pointed to this Word, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ. And revelation starts to come. We start to realize, wow, it's my God. And all of that is designed to bring us to that altar of incense, because, you know, sometimes we pray stupid prayers, don't we? I'm saying that because I pray some stupid prayers. It's all so I know what to pray when I stand before Him. It gives me a boldness to know a God who says, behold, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything I cannot do? Don't limit me, He says. So I come before this altar of incense. That's talking about prayer. Our prayer. He's chosen us. He's called us to stand before Him, to minister to Him, to burn incense. Don't be negligent, King Hezekiah said. I want to talk about the importance of being able to stand before Him in the day that we're alive now. When Samuel was there, it says the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Do you want that to be the testimony over our area? Do you want that to be the testimony in the place that we are? That there was no widespread revelation. There was no breaking through vision, another interpretation of that. That the word of the Lord was rare. I don't want it to be rare in this place. I want the word of the Lord just to go forth like a mighty stream. Don't you want that? Read the book of Acts and you see, you just chapter after chapter, you see the word of the Lord grew and multiplied and thousands were brought to the Lord. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Do you want to see that happen in our place? It starts with us getting up, getting dressed, and coming and putting on our robes of righteousness, putting on our garments of praise, putting on the garments that he has provided for us, and coming boldly right before the very throne of grace so that we can obtain that grace that's been bought for us by the blood of Jesus. But we've got to be clothed. We've got to put on our garments. I think in history, think of the different people in history. The Bible says in Psalm 24, who will stand in his holy place? Who will stand? Don't you see that as a call going out? Just as he did to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Don't you hear calling each one of us? Who will stand? Who's going to stand? It says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand. Where are we to stand? We're to stand in that holy place. If he would mark iniquities, not one of us could stand. But there's forgiveness with him that he may be feared, that we can come right before his very throne. Moses was a man who knew what it was to stand before God and avert a plague that would wipe out all of Israel. Abraham knew what it was to stand before God. Now, in Genesis 18, Abraham, you know, God appeared to him and he says, we're going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham stood before the Lord and interceded and pleaded for his mercy, pleaded for his nephew, pleaded for all of that nation. If there are only, would end up 10, I think 10 righteous, was that the, that God would have spared them all. He couldn't even find that. Elijah knew what it was. Elijah said, I stand before the Lord before whom I stand. What did he do? He stood before God on behalf of a whole nation that was completely double-minded, trying to serve God and doing their own thing as well. He stood before the Lord of all the earth and he brought revival to that nation. Okay, what about our generation? What about us right here, right now? He's calling us to, first of all, stand before him. As I tell you what, when you stand before him, burn incense, minister to him, he changes us. It's not about flattering him. It's not about us praising him so that he'll do something. It's not about that. It's about us praising him so that we begin to see his glory. We begin to see his majesty. And then we pray according to his will. Our heart becomes one with him so that our prayer is one with him. I want to finish up now. I want to pray for anybody. You know God is calling you. He's calling you to stand before him. He's calling you to minister to him. David, if you could get that CD just to play, please. I want to play just a song on a CD here, and it's Jesus, Our Cornerstone. And the last verse of that song says this. It says, when you shall come with trumpet sound, when he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Boldly stand before the throne so that we bring the glory of God in our generation, in the place where we are, in our own homes, in our workplaces, wherever we are, He wants us to bring His glory, bring His kingdom. That's our call. That's our call. That's our call. That's my call, and that's your call. If you want to answer that call, God, His eyes go to and fro. He looks all over the world. If He could just find one man, that's all He needs. If He could just find one man to stand in the gap before Him, that's all He needs. Well, Jesus Christ is that man, and we are in Him. If that's a call on you, I want you to answer that.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.